Bibles this morning, and we're going to try to get half of this or part of this done this morning and the rest tonight. But take your Bible, if you will, and go to Psalm 63. Let's stand together. You've been seated a good while. We'll stretch our legs and honor the Lord's word as we read together. Psalm 63, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up mine hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Thank you. You can have a seat. I want to preach with the help of the Lord this morning and this evening on the subject, how to thrive in 2025. How to thrive in 2025. And I'm preaching to the church. I'm preaching to Morning Star Baptist Church. And if you're tuned in via social media, that's wonderful. But my heart is that we, through the Word of God, could be stirred in such a way, and that we would want to thrive, not just survive 2025, but thrive in this year. And I believe that we can. I believe God has given us everything that we need in order to thrive, not just do what we've been doing, not just be sort of average, but I'm talking about at Morning Star Baptist Church, that this would be known as the year that Morning Star Baptist Church began to thrive. Wouldn't it be wonderful come December 31st? And we're heading into 2026, that we could all look back and say, by the grace of God, we have absolutely thrived this year as a church. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It absolutely is. And that's not out of reach, and that's not something that cannot happen. That's something that absolutely can happen. But before Morning Star Baptist Church can thrive, it's going to take Christians thriving. Before Morning Star Baptist Church can thrive, it's going to take Christians who make up marriages that thrive. And it's going to take Christians that are married and have children, have families who are thriving, who make up the families of this church, who make this church so that we can thrive. We won't thrive as a church apart from our families and our people thriving, because we are the church. And so with that in mind, the Bible said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, my soul. And here's one of the most key phrases in the text. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. He said, Lord, I'm thirsty. Like I'm out in a desert and I've been walking for days and days and possibly weeks and I ain't had a drop of water. And Lord, I'm thirsty. And I'm not thirsting for water, but I'm thirsting for thee. And then he says, not only am I thirsting for thee, but my flesh longeth. I mean, his innermost being, his reins, his every fiber of being that's within him is saying, I am longing for not money, not fame, not riches. He said, I'm longing for thee. I'm thirsting for thee. That's the first step into our church and you individually and our families beginning to thrive and become more than just average. It's for us to get a real, genuine thirst for the things of God. And let me back up. That before we have a genuine thirst for the things of God, number one, we must first get a thirst for God. Not just the things of God, but God Himself. Amen? And so that these verses goes on to say, he's talking about how he's thirsting and longing for the Lord. Why? Listen to verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He said, I'm hungering and I'm thirsting and I'm longing to see you and to be with you. I'm longing for us to have that sweet and close fellowship. Why? Because I want to see the power of God again. I want to see the glory of God again. Do you know how sad it would be, Brother Jeff, if on our watch, I mean, this church in its historical past has experienced great moves of God, and many of you know that. Momo, you've been here, and others have been here, and they have seen God work miracles, and they have seen God do the supernatural, and they have experienced true revivals and true moves of God. And oh, what a blessed heritage that we have as a church. But would it be a tragedy if we dropped the ball on our watch and said Morningstar used to be, but no longer is, and that our children would never get to experience the power, the unadulterated power of God. I believe as a father, Brother Jimmy, I owe it to my children that they see the power of God. I believe I owe it to my wife and to my children that they not only see the power of God, but they are shown and directed by their daddy and their preacher to the glory of God. Because once you ever experience and you get in the glory, and you feel the power of God, there ain't nothing like it. Listen, once you've been in the fire, you won't settle for the smoke. I'm here to tell you, we'll get so sick and tired of dry, dead services just coming in and everything being like it was week after week after week. No, once God comes down in power and God sits down in this place and the glory of God is exhibited and the power of God is seen and felt and experienced by us all, we won't want to go back to that just average Christian living. And that ought to be the heart's desire of every mom and daddy, that not only we get to experience that, but that our children could experience that. And that ain't a fairy tale, and that ain't something in a fiction book. That is right out of God's Word, God's holy Word, God's perfect, pure, unadulterated Word. That means that we absolutely can thrive in 2025. He goes on to say, because thy loving kindness is better than life. God's loving kindness is better than life. He said, because of that, my lips shall praise thee. Do you know what the psalmist is saying? God's been too good to me. Are you listening? God's been too good to me. He's been too gracious to me. He's been too merciful to me. He's been too loving to me. He's been too forgiving and blessed me beyond measure that I am not going to sit on my pew and keep my hands in my pocket and keep my mouth shut, but I'm going to raise my hands to a holy God in heaven, and I'm going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. God bless you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And he said, I am going to lift. He said, my lips shall praise thee. Verse 4, he goes on saying, I will bless thee while I live. In other words, I ain't going to wait to get to heaven to praise him. What a sorry Christian you and I would be if the only time we ever praise and bless the name of God publicly is when we get to heaven. He deserves our praise right now. Every second, every moment, every minute, every day, every week, listen, every day of our lives, God more than deserves our praise. Amen. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I want everybody to lift their hands up. Everybody. You're under arrest. Hands up. Hands up. Now, everybody look around. Everybody look around. I'm being serious. Was that hard? You can put them down. Was that hard? Now, where it gets harder is for me to say, JD, lift your hands. And I've seen JD run and shout and have a spell before, so that don't bother him too much. You can put them down. But if I was to call on some of you that's a little more bashful and quiet and say, lift your hands. Shout, hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
You'd, because you ain't never done it. But did you see while you had your hands raised? Everybody lift your hands back up. You're getting your calisthenics this morning. I was called fat again this morning. Thank you, Brother Steve. I'm over here about half dead, and he's called me fat. So I'm trying to get some work out. No, hands up, hands up. All right, listen. I'm going to count to three, and we all going to say, praise the Lord. One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
One, two, three, we're going to say hallelujah. One, two, three, hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Now with your hands down, just say one, two, three, amen. One, two, three.
Amen.
See, you can do it. And that didn't even make you nervous. You know why? I took the time to do that for a reason. You know why? Because we were all doing it. And it didn't make you feel out of place, because everybody at Morningstar Baptist Church church was lifting our hands in His name and blessing His name. And that's how it ought to be. How do we ever expect? We wonder, why has the church got to be so dead? And why has the church got to be so where our kids, once they get to their teenage years, they don't want to come no more. It's just dead down there. We want to go these other places. I tell you how that happens. I get up and I preach against this new contemporary music in these churches with all their new contemporary, and they got laser lights and smoke bombs going off, and they got these Christian rock and Christian rap groups and all these kids dancing and jumping and doing all that. I preach against that mess. I don't think it's right. Jeremiah said, I'm going to stick with the old paths. Wherein is the good way? I'm for old time religion. And hey, don't even try to come talk to me about that. Don't even try to come and persuade me out of that. I'm telling you, it's deep down in the crevice of my heart. I'm going to be an old fashioned Christian till the day I die. But you know why we're losing our young people? You know why we're losing the attention of our young people? It ain't because, I said I preach against them, mother, but it ain't their fault. These mega churches and these ones that's got basically concerts with the lasers and all that, and they jumping in. It's just like a worldly concert with different, and they just drop God in here and there, basically. It ain't their fault that our children are wanting to go there over sitting in a dead church somewhere else. You know whose fault it is? It's our fault. The Bible said judgment must first begin at the house of God. You say, why is it our fault? I'll tell you why. Because I don't like being a part of a dead church. I can't stand going to church and it's just like pulling teeth to get an amen here or there. I can't stand being part of a church and you come in and the songs will be wonderful and God will anoint the singing and people will just sit there like a wooden Indian and won't move, won't open their mouth, won't lift a hand. Hey, hear me and hear me well. We ought to all. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And I just proved to you that everybody in here can raise your hands and you can say amen, hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. So if you can do it, now is the personal question. I was taught this in Bible college, one of the greatest things they ever taught me. It don't do no good to come up with this great outline and all this preaching and delivering the message and all that if you do not connect it to the person. In other words, now that you know you can, what are you going to do about it?
Amen, preacher.
It's called application. It's called applying what you've heard. It's called not being hearers only, but being doers. And giving your children and giving this church and giving God the atmosphere where He feels welcomed and wanted, because the Bible said that God inhabits the praise of His people. And when we sit like a knot on the log and we got our mind on a million other things and we ain't about to raise our hand, we ain't about to say amen, we're going to sit there and we're going to absorb like a sponge and give it to me, give it to me. Bless me with your singing. Bless me with your singing. Listen, that ain't the choir's job, is to bless you or me by their singing. The choir's job is to bless God. We got so many sponges sitting on pews. Gimme, 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 gimme. I'll tell you what they said when I was growing up. Gimme. Asked somebody, say, hey, will you give me a dollar? They said, gimme got his neck broke. In other words, I'm out of gimmies. You ain't getting no more. Listen, our whole mindset has got messed up. We feel like we got to come and the church has... I've had people ask me this. When they visit, they'll say, what does your church offer my family? It's called the Word of God. It's called Sunday school. It's called great teaching from the Word of God. It's called preaching from the Word of God. It's called singing that'll bless your socks off. It's called youth activities and all that stuff. But the reality is we need to get our minds and our focus off of us and what can the church do for me, and get our mind on what can I do for God in my church. You want to talk about beginning to thrive? When we get those priorities back in place and in order, and we get off of that mentality that the church should be doing this for me and doing that for me, and you step up and say, what can I do for you, Lord, in my church? How can I build? How can I better my church? Amen. Business is about to pick up, and I promise you, we're going to thrive. Amen. Amen? Does not the Bible say it's more blessed to give than receive? That ain't just talking about money. That's talking about service. That's talking about worship. And listen, it's better to give praises to God. It's better to give to the church in our work, in our service, than it is for somebody to come serve and have to give to us. Amen, that's right. He ends that, he said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Listen, he's hungering, he's thirsting, and he is saying, my flesh is longing, so thirsting and longing in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see the power and glory of God like I have seen it in the sanctuary. Some of you have lived long enough that you've seen the power and glory of God. And the psalmist is saying, I've got to a place to where I remember what it was like when God was moving in power and souls were getting saved and people were getting right with God and people were putting their sin on the altar and saying, I'm giving that to you, God, and I'm going to try my best to get up and do right for the glory of God. And I've seen and experienced the power of God in the sanctuary and the glory of God that can't be explained, it can only be experienced. And he's saying to us, do you want to thrive? Get thirsty for it. More than you thirsty for that Diet Coke or that Coke Zero, or, you know, those of you that's still on a diet, cutting your sugars out. I'm saying crave it. Crave. Thirst. Long for this church to be a sanctuary and a place that didn't just used to be a place where the power and glory of God was found and rested upon, but for your children and for us and for some of your grandchildren, that this place, Morning Star Baptist Church, we must long for and thirst for and be willing to work for it, that God's glory would penetrate this place. And that our children and our teens and our juniors and our college and co-ed ages and that our middle-aged married couples and our elders, that we could one more time feel the glory of, experience the glory of God. Because for many of these, it'll be the first time they've ever experienced it. Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to experience that? Don't you want them to experience that? Them get thirsty for it, long for it, and then get ready for it. Because God said, I will pour out myself upon you. I will absolutely pour my glory out. I will absolutely pour my power out. And I will do things for you that you never dreamed I could do. And when those things begin happening, and they going to, I promise you, Morningstar Baptist Church and its name in our community will begin to spread. And it will be noised abroad that Jesus is in this house. And it will be noised abroad that that church sits right up here on the, right before you go out of Packlet on number 9, 150 Old Packlet, Old Sport Murder Highway, that they are thriving. Thriving, not for more money, not for recognition, but for the glory of God and for our children and our grandchildren. We're thriving, and that we're thriving to see those who are out there get in here so God can get in here in their lives. That should be the burden of every one of us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. That's the introduction. We'll get back to the rest of it maybe this evening. I want you to bow your heads and hearts.